From hospitality workers to hospital workers, difficult times are ahead. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. We're hearing the stories of workers out of a job because of the vast shutdown of malls, businesses, and parks. We want to hear your story. Call in 800-743-9576. Also, we don't want a massive amount of coronavirus patients in our hospitals. That's part of the logic behind our shelters in place. But are we protecting hospital employees?
I am positive for the corona.
Today we hear from an official at Jackson Memorial about supporting their staff and what they've done to prepare for more virus patients. Finally, there's a report that an employee at a Fort Lauderdale Whole Foods tested positive for the virus. Are the stores doing enough to keep their employees and customers safe? All that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. South Florida's economy is about hospitality and tourism. So, with the shutdown of most stores, malls, and parks, those who work in hospitality are being hit perhaps the hardest. WLRN's Jenny Stiletovich has heard from a couple of workers who've been laid off, and she joins us now. Jenny, great to have you.
Hey, Luis, how are you?
Doing all right. Hopefully you're staying safe.
I am, thank you.
All right. And by the way, we want to hear from you if you're a hospitality worker and you've been laid off. The number is 800-743-9576. Again, that's 800-743-WLRN. Share with us what's going on right now. I mean, are you filing for unemployment, or maybe there are other jobs popping up somewhere else, but we want to hear your story. Jenny, you spoke with people who have lost their jobs. There was one a really interesting story. His name is Dwayne Thwaites, and he got laid off with Marlins Park's closure. What does he do at the park?
That's right. So he is a lead concession at Marlins Park. He basically ran one of the concessions. He was just in the middle of training staff for the opening season, opening day, getting them updated on the menu, on customer service, how to treat the customers and things like that, when he said they got an email saying that the park was closing and they were laid off.
How long has he been working at that job?
He'd been there 9 years. He was going into, I should say, his ninth season. He started when the park opened.
So he shared some of his experience with you and what he's dealing with. Here's a clip.
When living paycheck by paycheck, to lose a day is bad enough, but to take out work and leave it indefinite, it's a really frightening thing because you have no idea of, how you're going to pay your bills next week.
So what is, what is Thwaites doing right now, actually?
When I talked to him last week, he was unsure of what he was going to do. He lives in a friend's warehouse. So he says he's basically homeless. He's 51 years old. He's worked at the ballpark for the last 9 years and basically is a seasonal worker. So when the ball games would end, he would get work at Hard Rock Stadium. He said a lot of the workers at the park basically go from venue to venue depending on the season. So he, at that, when I talked to him last week, he wasn't sure what he was going to do.
Is the park, is the Marlins, are they doing anything to help support people like Thwaites?
Well, so they joined Major League Baseball teams across the country in agreeing to donate $1 million to ballpark workers. I talked to them today, though, and they are still in the middle of trying to figure out how they're going to get that relief to the workers. They said they're talking to vendors and to the game day staff, but they haven't figured out yet, how they're going to get it to them, what amount, how they're going to divvy it up or anything like that.
And we're talking specifically about the workers in the stadium. They work in the different concessions, the different restaurants, and selling merchandise inside the stadium, right?
Right. That's what I think. Yes.
Okay. So another worker that you talked to was Jelani Jacobs. I hope I'm saying that right.
Jelani Jacobs.
Thank
right.
You.
He's at the Diplomat.
Gotcha. So he's a line cook at the Diplomat Resort in Hollywood. He says that the coronavirus is a natural disaster, not the same as a hurricane. Let's take a listen.
I thought it was more like along the lines of a natural disaster. Like, okay, we're going to get through this. It's going to be a couple of days, maybe a couple of months. But hey, it's not the end of the world. This pandemic seems like it's about to be the end of the world.
All right, so you know, he's kind of laughing a little bit there at the end, so hopefully he's keeping up his good spirits with that, but he does sound worried. You know, a lot of hospitality workers are. What has the governor said or proposed so far specifically for people like Jelani?
Yeah, and I should also point out that music that we keep hearing with these clips, that's Jelani. He's also a musician.
Right,
you know, he's a very, you know, it's such a great Miami story. Everybody's always something else too.
Right, exactly.
So the governor has not done anything specifically for the hospitality industry, but he has done some things for small businesses. He set up a bridge loan program for businesses with fewer than 100 employees with they can apply for up to $50,000. It's interest free, but only for the first year. The Ken Lawson, who runs the state's Department of Economic Opportunity, today posted a new rule waiving a requirement that workers be looking for work when they apply or when they receive unemployment benefits. So they're trying to ease some of the restrictions for unemployment benefits, but there are people are asking for bigger relief. You know, these are folks who, you know, don't have a lot of cushion. Both Jelani and Dwayne said, you know, they're kind of paycheck to paycheck. And so they're looking at going without work, it could be months at a time.
Yeah.
There's petitions on change.org. The Grove Bay Hospitality Group has got 20,000 signatures for a petition asking DeSantis to provide rent relief, relief from loans, relief from payroll taxes. Yeah. I know the restaurant or the hospitality union group is also demanding sort of bigger, bolder action that you know provides just gets people through this what's going to be a super difficult time for them.
Exactly. You know, thinking back, really interesting. Again, the music that we were hearing under those cuts, as you said, that is actually Jelani singing. That's because he does that on the side. And that goes to this idea of people in South Florida that it's, you know, people hustle. You know, they always have that side. They have the side hustles, you know, because that's what you got to do. Have you talked to people about, like, are they losing all their side hustles?
Well, so Jelani is a good example because he's not just a musician and a line cook, but he's also an Uber driver. And he said, however, he doesn't have a car right now. So he's qualified or certified, whatever you have to do to be able to drive for Uber. And he could actually become an Uber Eats delivery person, but he doesn't have a car. So wow. I think people are still, you know, they're definitely out there looking. It's not like they're sitting at home waiting for somebody to come to them. They are trying, But like Dwayne said, he go out and look for a job, but nobody's hiring right now. So,
wow, just wow. WLRN's Jenny Seledovich joining us. We're talking about how the shutdowns. You know, again, we're battling this coronavirus. How it's impacting so many people here in South Florida, because so much of what we do is about the hospitality industry, and we want to hear from you. If you work in the hospitality industry, what has it been like for you? And maybe you have a lot of side hustles. What's it been like to deal with that? Are you losing those? Is there opportunity somewhere else? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. Again, that's 800-743-WLRN. You can also find us on social media at WLRN Sundial. So, Jenny, what about local nonprofits? Are they doing something to fill in the void to help workers?
Well, United Way started a fund. I think they started out with about $350,000. It's not just limited, obviously, to restaurant and hospitality industry workers. It's for all folks to provide money for utilities. The money can be used for rent, mortgages, and utilities. I know the Farm Share is offering drive-through food distribution sites. The Hospitality Workers Union Unite Here is trying to help people with unemployment applications and is pushing to get some kind of bigger relief. Last week, Miami Beach's mayor said that he was in talks with them to try and get something worked out.
We have that. I wondered if, like, you know, coming back to, you know, Thwaites and Jacobs, What about remote work opportunities, online work? Because I've heard about, well, we live in a gig economy, and this is the way we're going anyway. So is that an option? Have they talked about that?
Well, I mean, Amazon said last year, that they were looking for 100,000 workers. So yeah, those opportunities are out there, but you also have to have the tools to perform those jobs. I mean, you know, like Jelani doesn't have a car, so he can't be an Uber Eats driver. Right. Dwayne lives in a warehouse. I don't know how his Wi-Fi access is. So, there are some limits. Libraries are closed down, you know, where people would go to get internet access.
And what about unemployment, filing for unemployment? What have you heard about folks in the process? What has it been like? I'd imagine there's got to be a lot of people trying to get through.
People are complaining. When I looked at their Facebook page, it's full of posts from people saying, I'm not able to complete the process online. I try to call. Nobody's answering the phone. The unemployment office, the Department of Economic Opportunity, has a banner across their website page saying, you know, we are sorry for the delay. We're getting hit by unprecedented numbers of calls. And Ken Lawson said yesterday that they are getting more calls than they ever have before. They are actually asking for people to apply for jobs there. You know, the unemployment office is looking for employees. And they've posted, you know, one ads basically on Twitter and Facebook saying they need more workers in Tallahassee and Orlando, just because they're getting overwhelmed with requests and applications.
Have we also heard about the issue with paying rent or mortgages and what people are saying? Because we're coming up on the end of the month, and it's that time to pay the rent.
Yeah. So far, I've not seen any kind of official action to provide relief for that. Jelani said he was in the process of talking to his landlord. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to go to the phones here again. I want to hear from you. What has the experience like been? What's the experience been like for you? If you work in the hospitality industry and you're out of work. Are there options, or maybe you're trying to file for unemployment? What is that like? Let's go to the phones. I'm going to start with William in Fort Lauderdale. William, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thanks. My question is, let's say we all go home and we stay at home for 3 weeks, make it a month, and now what do? We come back out. What's different in 1 month than right now? And if we're just, 3% closer to a vaccine, why are we staying home? Why don't we just put the folks that are potentially sick and have consequences away into a nursing home, whatever, have people like that stay away. But then the rest of the folks who have a low risk of having complications with the illness, get them out there and develop herd immunity. So that's kind of like if you have a wildfire, you take the trees out, you put the trees away, let the wildfire burn through, and then put the trees back.
Well, I won't say that's a fair comparison. And second, let me also say I'm not the expert, only that I've talked to a lot of people about this. One, testing in the U.S. has been weak compared to other countries. We haven't tested enough, and so we don't know how bad it is. And I think we have to be very careful. I understand what you're saying, William, but I think we have to be very careful. More people probably haven't than we know right now. And they're going to be spreading it. And until we get through that process in the next 2-3 weeks, because that's kind of how long the virus takes to start kicking in, we're going to start to see a lot of people get sick. And that's when we're going to get a sense of how bad it is. That's the only thing that I can say. I think we have to trust what health experts are telling us. It's going to really be hard. We have to look to see what happened in Italy and South Korea. We're not doing it as well as they are, but we've got to see how bad it is, because it could get that bad. And I've even heard of cities in this country like New York, Seattle, maybe even South Florida. That's not a city, just the region, could get as bad as Wuhan. And you have to consider maybe even shutting it all down and stopping. That's the only thing I know. Again, talking to people who do know. But William, very good points. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let me go to Jerome in Miami. Jerome, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to add some input. I know that there was some discussion with respect to people having side hustles, and Just going back many years, probably now about 12 years during the debacle that occurred on Wall Street, you know, with Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers going down, you know, I took the opportunity, even though I was working in the hospitality industry on a very high-profile restaurant on South Beach. I won't name the property, but it was a five-diamond restaurant. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe one day, if I don't have a position here, there needs to be some kind of side hustle that I can get into. So I decided to look into the stock market at that time, and that's about when the crash had occurred. And you know, I didn't know anything about the market. I went in to listen to CNBC. You know, I read a little bit of the Wall Street Journal and things of that nature, and I kind of taught myself how to do it. And yes, I lost quite a bit in the beginning. But as the years developed, I decided that it was going to be something that I was going to be looking forward to, maybe if there was another crash. And this is what's happening now. And I'm home, and this is what I'm doing. I'm starting to make some money in the market, even though it's going down. You got to be smart and pick stocks that are going to go the other way. Because
your side hustle is the market. It's Wall Street.
It's Wall Street, but it's again. I learned how to do this many years ago, and you know, I had to go through you know, quite a loss
and
to actually learn. The learning curve was not easy, but over time, you learn how to pick the stocks. There's always a bull market somewhere.
You know what? I mean, no, it's interesting, and if it's worked for you, that's fantastic. As you said, though, big learning curve. A lot of people don't have the time. But Jerome, thank you for the call, and I appreciate it. And best of luck to you. Hope you get through these times. Let me see. I want to go to Andrew now in West Palm Beach. Andrew, thank you so much for holding. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with you.
Well, I'm a small business owner. I have a small used furniture store, and basically, I had two employees. I had to lay them off until further notice. And I'm basically doing Uber Eats until the economy turns around. My small business doesn't qualify for SBA loan from the government because on the website they ask you for 3 years tax returns, and we're only been and my company's only been working for 2 years.
Yeah.
So we don't qualify for SBA loan, which really doesn't make sense because, you know, we're a small business. But we don't have 3 years tax returns. So I'm forced to do Uber Eats, and that's basically how I'm putting food on the table.
Wow.
Until further notice.
And Andrew, real quickly, I mean, you know, because I do see those delivery guys around, but I know that's not replacing your own business, but is business good at least? Are you busy? Are you able to make some, you know, enough?
Well, today, if I look at what I made today, I woke up at 6 a.m. Surprisingly, the breakfast rush is where the most money is. My first day ever waking up to deliver breakfast.
Wow.
But when it comes to dinner, you don't make much.
Wow.
$20-$30 a day. Today, I'm at like $45, and I've been doing it for about 8 hours. So
wow.
Not really making what I used to make, but it's better than staying around listening to negativity on the news. So.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, listen, thank you for sharing. And, you know, I'm like I said to everybody else, hang in there. Hopefully you get through this. Lots of people struggling. And we don't know how long this is going to keep going. And again, we're only here to report what's happening. We're only here to report what we know. And that's all we can do. Jenny, real quickly, hear these stories. And I'm just curious. You know, I, again, was telling William at the beginning, look, I'm just going by what health officials said. What are city leaders, county leaders, health officials saying about, you know, when we can get back to any kind of normalcy? Not for a while, right?
I don't know. I mean, they are. It seems like we're in it for a few months, you know, and for the long haul. I just talked to the University of Florida about moving out students, and they're talking about April, May. So I don't think there's going to be an end to it. You know, I will say that he brought up an interesting point about newer businesses that I just wanted to, you know, make a point that they are. Suffering a little bit more because they don't have the cushion and they don't necessarily qualify for benefits. We talked to the owner of Taquiza Tacos who had to lay off 70 employees. They just opened in the last year or so, and he said they, you know, they just don't have a cushion. So
right. We've been talking with WLRN's Jenny Stiletovich. We also heard from William, Jerome, and Andrew during this conversation. Share with us what you're dealing with, whether it's employment, debt, small business, health issues. you know, what are some of the answers you're looking for? Email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Jenny, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lewis.
All right, still to come, we're going to talk with folks at Jackson Memorial Hospital about the readiness of the hospitals and also how are they protecting their own. It's coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, healthcare workers are on the front lines of this pandemic. They're often the greatest at risk. Erin Baron is an emergency room nurse at Jackson North Medical Center in Miami-Dade, and she usually posts YouTube videos about her family and making baby food for her new son. But a video that she posted a few days ago had a much, much different tone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my channel. So I got my results yesterday, and I am positive for the corona. I'm also positive for two other viruses, two other strand of viruses from the SARS virus family. And I found this out because the day shift nurse that I had yesterday, she showed me my results before she left. But I feel like if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have known that.
So what are we doing to protect healthcare workers? June Ellis is the Associate Chief Nursing Officer for Jackson Memorial Hospital. She joins us now to discuss this and just hospital preparations for what we're dealing with. June Ellis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be representing Jackson today.
Also want to note that WLRN's Nadege Green reached out to Baron for comment and hasn't received a response, but you could read her story at WLRN.org. Mrs. Ellis, what was going through your mind when you heard the news that this nurse tested positive for coronavirus?
Well, honestly, this is the first time I'm hearing it on your show right now. I guess I wouldn't, it does not surprise me. As you stated, we're on the front lines. It doesn't mean that it occurred here at the hospital. As you know, there's a lot of COVID-19 happening in the community. That's why we strongly stress, you know, and you've heard it throughout the news, you've heard it from the president, you've heard it from Dr. Fossey, to really social distance and to stay away. So to determine exactly how this happened, it would really be impossible to come to that conclusion.
I wanted to talk about, you know, with healthcare professionals, you know, what's the protocol, what they're supposed to be doing to protect themselves since they are most at risk, really, because they're in constant contact with people who probably have it.
Right. We're frontline. And as I mentioned before, we're frontline for many things besides just COVID-19. We've gone through many other viruses also. You know, on a daily basis, we may come in contact with shingles or we may come in contact with C. difficile. You know, we had H1N1 flu, for example. We were coming in contact with that more readily in December. So we're very prepared from an organization standpoint as to what to do. We're well-trained. We have numerous educators who train us on the different PPE or protective devices that we need to when we're on the forefront of any of these diseases.
And do all the workers in the hospital have all the protective gear they need?
Yes. So Jackson has really put together a very well thought out plan. We were planning this before it actually started to come to Florida. We paid close attention to what was happening in Wuhan, paid close attention to Italy, you know, the West Coast. And then we started to see it, you know, unfortunately head towards us. So we had already been planning. We have a great procurement team that works very closely with, you know, our vendors and outside agencies. So currently, our plan is we have very specific areas where we put individual patients that are either rule out or high susceptibility for COVID. And so we're able to really put our resources into those areas rather than scattering it, you know, throughout the hospital.
Right, right.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, help me understand, you know, with your healthcare workers, mm-hmm. what is the equipment that they have? I mean, obviously they're doing a lot of the things that we're all told to do, but probably more so. What is it that they have to protect themselves?
Sure. So if it's a rule-out patient, you know, obviously we wear a mask. And I have to explain, this goes in a couple of stages. So it depends on what our activity is with the patient. So to simply go into the room and you're going to do something simple with the patient, perhaps bring in a dietary tray, you're going to wear a mask, you're going to wear a gown, you're going to wear gloves. That's kind of our standard precautions. Where it gets to the ability of perhaps passing this on even more is when we're doing anything that is what we call aerosolized or aerosolizing generating procedures. For example, if someone needs to be put on a respirator and needs to have a breathing tube put in or intubation, that's where what we know about this virus is that it's generated through secretions. So when you do something in the respiratory tract, you're going to generate droplets and secretions, and that's
right.
Where you wear the N95 mask. So that protects the healthcare worker. We also have full body suits. To protect the skin of the individual, we have boots, covers, they're called boot covers up to the knees of the individual. We double glove, our process is to double glove. They wear, as I mentioned, the N95, a shield, and goggles.
Okay.
So we really want to minimize any contact at all. The important part of all of this is how to put it on and how to take it off. So it's not just that we have the equipment. We have to have the education of knowing how to don and doff.
Exactly. What are the guidelines for testing, the workers at the hospital? Has everybody been tested?
For the employees?
Yes.
No. That would not, that would not be judicious to test everyone. If no one has symptoms, then we'd be wasting swabs, right? So... we have a questionnaire that we go through, and it's vetted from the CDC and our infection control here. We look specifically to cough, fever, runny nose, any types of shortness of breath, travel from outside the country or travel to any of the states, you know, the high-risk states, Washington, New York, Oregon, California.
Right, right.
And, you know, we ask, have they been in contact with anyone that's COVID positive?
And then what are the guidelines? What happens if a Jackson healthcare worker does test positive? Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
So if a visitor or, you know, a patient tested positive, they're put. So we're quarantined at home, asked to quarantine at home for 14 days from the onset of their symptoms.
And then what about their coworkers?
So we watch for symptoms in their coworkers, and see if they develop any of these symptoms. And then we treat the same way that I just mentioned. Their coworkers are asked to wear a mask during that time. If they develop any symptoms, then they're also tested.
I mean, this was, I think, inevitable. Is it? I mean, again, because you're in the front lines, you're at greater risk. This
right.
is going to happen. What's the plan if all of a sudden you start getting a lot of staff sick?
Mm-hmm.
How do you replace them?
Right. So, again, as I said, planning is key, and we've been planning for a while. We have some departments that the staff are working from home, or they're very low, you know, volume areas right now, such as surgery, right? The elective surgeries are essentially none. So we have all of those nurses that can assist us. We also have contracts with outside agencies to supply us with nursing staff that will be able to come in and assist us also.
I'm talking with June Ellis, Associate Chief Nursing Officer for Jackson Memorial Hospital. As we mentioned earlier, a nurse at Jackson North Medical Center in Miami-Dade tested positive for coronavirus. Again, this according to her YouTube video that she posted. And you could find reporting on that story, by the way, at WLRN.org. Mrs. Ellis, how do you ensure that your medical personnel are not overworked and overburdened? This has got to take a toll.
Most of our nurses work three 12-hour shifts, You know, and I think right now, you know, we're doing well. We're doing extremely well. They work 3 days. They have 4 days off. Occasionally, they'll work extra for us. We aren't at that point right now where, you know, there's a nurses are stretched to their maximum limit. What we all, you know, we make sure we are giving them actually meal tickets to get off the unit, go and have a meal, you know, get away from it, be able to decompress a little bit. We are checking in, we as an executive team, round daily. We check in with them. Their leaders check in with them. You know, if someone really needs a day off, honestly, we'll give them a day off so they can regroup. I mean, we all have families. We all have outside things that we have to be responsible for also. Although we're, you know, our mission is clear, and that's protection of our staff, protection of our patients. You know, we want to make sure that we care the best we can for the residents of Miami-Dade. I think everyone here understands that that is the mission of this hospital. And when times get tough, honestly, in my history, nurses pull together and they do it. They do what they have to do. And that's what I'm seeing every day here at Jackson.
One of the things that I keep hearing about is that, you know, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to see this virus finally start to impact some of those who have it. Mm-hmm. That's when we'll start to see how many people really have it, and it could get bad. You know, the question to you, to every hospital, is, are you ready? Are you ready for a massive amount of people coming in?
We have a solid plan in place. We speak every day on what our plan is. We have opened up floors and emptied floors in preparation. We've acquired additional equipment that we know that we anticipate that we're going to need from listening to what other countries and other states have needed. And in particular, respirators are one of the things that we anticipate. We have a generous supply available to us. We monitor our ventilator usage every day. We're monitoring the number of patients that we see, the number of patients. We have an outside tent that we screen all emergency department patients that are coming in. We monitor the activity in those tents. We're seeing a small increase, but still very manageable. So do I think we're prepared? I think we're prepared. This is a novel virus. You know, we have history, and honestly, our history only goes back 2 months with this. So we're looking back 2 months and seeing what everyone else has done, and we will be as prepared as we possibly can.
I've also heard of some emergency rooms now are filling up quite quickly. People just concern every time they get a little, you know, maybe a little cough or something that, right. Oh, God, this could be something bad.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where education is really important for people outside of here to be listening to. We do, as I mentioned, we have a screening tent. Not everyone gets swabbed that comes through there, but a lot of them have their fears relieved for the time. It's important that we all keep a very level head during this time. It's important to listen to what our experts are saying. Social distancing is important. Staying home is important. If you're home, you're not going to spread the virus or catch the virus if you're in your house, you know. So it's very, very important to be paying attention to what we're being told.
Are all the hospitals working together? I mean, they probably do, but I'm wondering, in a situation like this, as a pandemic, working together to share their plans, if in case one hospital is just overburdened, that you could start to siphon off patients somewhere else, or that if one group has more of supplies that's needed, that you could share?
You know, what I'll consider normal times, you know, in a non-COVID time, that's something we do anyways. You know, we work closely with UM. If their emergency department's very busy, we take additional patients in. So, you know, we are in contact with hospitals every day, with our, you know, all our hospitals every day to see where they're at. So, yes, we would, as a healthcare organization, we would never allow someone else, you know, to suffer if we had something. We would certainly evaluate it.
I do have to just push a little bit here, though, on the communication, because, I mean, we started this interview And you had heard about this nurse, you know, again, it's at Jackson North Medical Center.
Right.
But, I mean, are you concerned that the communication between the Jackson Health System, that people are talking to each other and telling each other what's going on?
No, I typically don't. I'll be honest. I don't look at right now at the patients at Jackson North and Jackson South. My main concern right now is Jackson, Maine. That's where I'm based. So I look at all my patients here. If that employee had been here, I would have been well aware of it, just as I'm sure Jackson North is aware of their employee there.
June Ellis, again, Associate Chief Nursing Officer for Jackson Memorial Health or Hospital, excuse me. Mrs. Ellis, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And for you and all the staff there, thank you so much for what you do, but please stay safe.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You too.
All right. Well, still to come. Supermarkets are still open. We got to go. We got to buy food. But are they safe inside? It's almost like praying. It's almost like praying. It's almost like praying. It's almost like Cabo Rojo, Corozal, La Guabo. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the Sun Sentinel has reported that a worker at a popular Whole Foods store in Fort Lauderdale tested positive for the virus. Supermarkets remain open as people, well, they've got to buy food, they've got to buy supplies. But what are these stores telling their workers about social distancing and protecting themselves while working? Are you a grocery store worker? Doesn't matter what part of the store you work in, do you feel safe at your job? We want to hear from you. 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. And you don't have to tell us which store you work in, because I'm not interested in getting anybody in trouble. But I definitely want to hear what people are telling you to do, your bosses are telling you to do, or maybe you're telling your employees what to do to stay safe. Now, we've heard from some of you already. This was an email from Hillary Kay in Miami Beach. She recently went to a Publix to do some shopping. She says, I tried desperately to say to people as I shopped, please keep 6 feet distant from me. A Publix employee, when I said to them, I'm trying to keep 6 feet distance between us, said, you could do that outside. Checking out was the hardest part. It was very difficult to maintain 6 feet distance from a bagger and a checker, who are by no means maintaining 6 feet distance between each other. I managed to get out of that store, overpaying only slightly in my rush, not considering what I was actually paying for and purchasing. So again, share with us. Find us on social media, WLRN Sundial. But again, we want to hear from you, 800-743-9576, if you are a grocery store worker. Tell us about what's going on. Joining me now is Mario Ariza, one of the two reporters at the Sun Sentinel on this story. Mario, thanks for joining us.
Louis, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So you reported that an employee at a Whole Foods supermarket in Fort Lauderdale tested positive. How did that information become public?
Sure. Well, we received an anonymous tip from an anonymous source on Sunday, and we followed up on it. And we follow up on as many of our anonymous tips as we can. Most of the time, nothing comes of them. And actually, this time, something did. We received confirmation from Whole Foods corporate within a few hours, actually, of sending out a request for information that, yes, an employee at their Fort Lauderdale store had indeed tested positive for the new coronavirus.
Did you talk with management there? Did they say anything about it?
We attempted to get in touch with management on Sunday night. They were not available, according to what we were told, and we were told to call back on Monday, and we have not been able to contact management at that particular store since this incident started.
You did get a response from the company, and you shared it with us. This is just an edited version of what you received. This is a quote from the company. Quote, the safety of our team members and customers is our top priority. We are diligently following all guidance from local health and food safety authorities. Out of an abundance of caution, the store performed an additional cleaning and disinfection. As we prioritize the health and safety of our customers and team members, we will continue to do the following to help contain the spread of the COVID-19. And then they went on to list the things that they do, again, that they've been doing, like reducing hours so their workers can restock, and, of course, cleaning a lot. What is this, Mario, what does this positive test, though, mean for all of the employees of that store?
Well, it's possible now that those individuals may have been exposed to the coronavirus, and I really do hope that the HR teams at Whole Foods Market have reached out to the people who, you know, were in close contact with the individual at that store, his coworkers who were on his shifts, and, you know, are telling them to take appropriate measures and hopefully to self-isolate to stop this from spreading. But we don't necessarily know if that's happened.
I mean, look, I've been to a couple of different stores myself when I had to do my shopping. I've noticed workers wearing gloves, never seen one wear a mask. And for the most part, they keep a distance, but they do answer people's questions. But are the stores, or if this Whole Foods telling their workers you have to have gloves or maybe even think about wearing a mask, or no?
From what we've received, we haven't heard from Whole Foods about wearing masks. We've heard from Publix saying that they're actually telling their employees not to wear masks. Masks are sort of in short supply right now anyways, so it's unclear whether or not we would have enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems as if the grocery stores are instructing their employees, at least Publix, to not wear masks. And the gloves are worn, in, from what I understand, as an ad-needed basis. So if you're engaged in direct contact with a food product, they do wear the gloves, at least at the Publix.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's the sort of thing that these are now frontline workers. So what steps should they be taking? Should they be wearing personal protective equipment? These are questions that we now have to answer in this new world.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones. I want to hear again from you if you work in any of these supermarkets, any of these stores that are open right now, kind of what people are telling your employees are telling you, but also what you're seeing in these stores. Let's go to, I'm going to start with Jane in Miami. Jane, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Jane, you're a pharmacist, right?
Yeah.
Tell me your concern.
I work at one of the chain retailers. Our district manager already tried to, my store manager had acquired masks for the employees when all of this was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And other employees spoke with other stores and were acquiring their store managers to provide the same personal protective equipment. Apparently, the district managers now are recommending that we don't wear masks, but we are taking care of people that are coming from the ERs and picking up these
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Do you, I mean, if just Jane, you yourself, how do you feel when you go into work?
I've cried a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel safe. I've been wearing the same mask since, I guess, 2 Fridays ago. I spray it with alcohol daily.
Wow, that is okay. No, that's an interesting point because, again, you work in a pharmacy, a little bit different because, again, you do have, again, patients coming in. They're looking for their medication. Jane, thank you so much for the call. Stay safe. Let me go back to the phones. I want to go to Malka now in West Palm Beach. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. So you work at one of the stores?
Yeah, I work at Publix in West Palm Beach.
Okay. Tell me what do you see? What are you told? What's going on?
So I feel like just in general, when you work at a grocery store, you're trained how to keep yourself safe. Like, we're trained in our orientation how to wash our hands, how often to change our gloves. I feel like on our end, we're basically as safe as we could be. Like, I've seen my coworkers washing their hands a lot more often. Like, we're very diligent about changing gloves. And the customers are the ones that I'm more concerned about, because I've heard that wearing a mask can be more detrimental because you're putting your hand by your face a lot more often to adjust it. And that happens a lot where I am. It's hard for us to hear the customers when they have masks on and they keep pulling them away from their face and putting them back on and pulling them away and putting them back on.
Right, right.
And they'll wear gloves, but they'll wear the same gloves for the whole shopping trip. And they'll be like wiping their face off with the gloves on their hands. And I feel like it's more that they need to be following the proper information so that they're not passing stuff on while they're there, because there's a lot of them in our stores right now.
Yeah.
And we're doing everything that we can on our end, but they're not really following what they need to be.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is this, is from time to time you're handling cash, and, you know, money is just as dirty as you can get in what you're touching. But also just real quickly, you know, do you when you hear the story of, like, again, this is a Whole Foods in Fort Lauderdale, do you know of any workers who have had to go get tested?
I don't personally know of anyone in my store or anyone that I know of in a grocery store that's been tested. I think most of us kind of are at the level where we're just assuming that we're going to get it because of the number of people that we're around every day.
Wow.
We're all doing what we can to prevent it, but it's like, what are you going to do? We can't stay home.
Yeah.
Work, we, like,
yeah, definitely.
What would happen if people couldn't buy groceries?
No, like, and that's a scary thought. Malka, thank you so much for sharing. Please stay as safe as you can.
Thank you.
All right. I'm talking with Mario Ariza with the Sun Sentinel, and as they reported, a Fort Lauderdale Whole Foods employee tested positive for the virus. You can find Mario's story on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Mario, how many different supermarkets have you been trying to reach or you know, just to talk to people about safety?
Sure. And I should note that Susanna Bryan also helped us report this story out. But together, the both of us, we reached out to Whole Foods, Publix, 7-Eleven, Walmart, Target, Winn-Dixie, and Dollar General. And we wanted to reach out to Costco, but I couldn't quite get in touch with her folks.
And what are they telling you?
We only heard back from Whole Foods and Publix. And we'd love to hear back from especially 7-Eleven and Dollar General to learn a little bit more about how those sort of different stores are dealing with this particular crisis.
What are you getting from your readers? What have they said to you, not only about this story, but their experiences?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's an incredible amount of anxiety and concern with folks social distancing right now. The grocery store is kind of the only time that they're really going outside. And we received a lot of comments asking us, well, do you know when this person last worked? I've been to the store 3 times in the last week. Am I exposed? And, you know, we'd love to be able to confirm when that person last worked or you know, if somebody had possibly been exposed, but we don't have that information right now. And it's just, it seems like folks are very, very worried about that particular moment because they seem to not feel like they have a lot of control when they go to the grocery store about whether or not they're being exposed.
Yeah. By the way, with that particular Whole Foods, because I asked you earlier if we know anything about the other employees, but has there been any conversation about even closing that store?
Not that I've seen. Whole Foods obviously has told us that, you know, they've done a thorough cleaning and disinfection of the store, but there, as of yesterday, has been no communications about closing the store or even sending employees or asking employees who were on the same shifts with that individual to self-quarantine, which is, as a note, what would happen if, for instance, these were firefighters or right. police officers.
Exactly. Yeah. Mario Ariza, again, with the Sun Sentinel, you could check out his story on our social media, WLRN Sundial. Mario, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Louis.
I also want to mention, too, that WLRN did reach out to some stores. We received this from Publix. Publix said, we have shared the following information with our associates. Avoid close contact with people. Stay home from work if you have cold-like symptoms. Don't touch your face. Basically, a lot of the same stuff we've all been told. They also said this. To assist during this unprecedented situation, we're offering emergency pandemic pay for eligible absences of our full-time and part-time associates because of the virus. As part of our general response to COVID-19, we've already implemented a heightened disinfection program focusing on high-touch surfaces like touch pads, door and drawer handles, phones, and computers. You can read, by the way, the full response later today on our website at WLRN.org. And again, you know, the coronavirus pandemic has exposed, you know, a new kind of essential worker, those who are stocking the shelves and bagging our groceries. And so if you work in any of these situations, supermarkets, pharmacies, etc., do you feel safe at your job? Text us 305-676-6000. 7825. Again, just text us at 305-676-7825. Standard messaging rates apply. We want to hear from you and hear more about your story. Well, that is our program for this Tuesday, March 24th. Coming up tomorrow on Sundial, housing is a big question during the coronavirus pandemic. No one can be evicted from their apartments or homes. What protections are there for those living in condos, though, or multifamily buildings? We're going to talk with a number of legal experts about that. And again, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about your housing situation? If you're a landlord, what questions do you have about what actions you can take and can't against your tenants? Share your story with us on social media at WLRN Sundial. Email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org. We're going to be taking calls during tomorrow's program as well about this. Again, looking at this issue of paying rent, evictions, all this stuff during these very, very strange times. Thank you again so much for all the callers who have shared their story. You can always just find us on social media at WLRN Sundial. Would love to hear from you just to hear how you're doing. Hopefully you're hanging in there. We are going to get through this, but please remember just the basics, okay? You keep hearing social distancing. It's important. Keep the distance from other people. Try to be more cautious about what you're touching. I've been more cognizant of where I'm going and what I'm touching. I'm still trying really hard not to touch my face. It's just a reflex, I think. But wash your hands as much as possible. And don't panic when you go to the store. You don't have to buy everything. The world isn't coming to an end. We're going to get through this. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.